Lux presents Hollywood. The Lux Radio Theater brings you Judy Garland and Walter Pidgeon in A Star Is Born. Ladies and gentlemen, your producer, Mr. Cecil B. DeMille.
Greetings from Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen. Among certain peoples, notably our good and brave friends, the Chinese, the passing of one year and the beginning of another is celebrated with fireworks. And taking a tip from them, we are going to touch off a dramatic Roman candle that will send a pair of stars flashing across the sky in a blaze of glory. The stars are Walter Pidgeon and Judy Garland. And the play is adapted from David O. Selznick's great motion picture, A Star Is Born. Walter is starring now for Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer in White Cargo. And Judy comes to us from the cast of Presenting Lily Mars. It wasn't so very long ago that Judy's own star first appeared in the Hollywood sky. And tonight in A Star Is Born, she plays the part of a small town girl who rises to screen fame. I think myself that this is one of the best dramas of Hollywood that Hollywood has ever produced. But you'll decide that for us when you hear it. You know, there's a time of year for everything. And this is the time of year for making good resolutions. I have one to suggest now for some of the ladies in this audience. Not all of them, or even a very large number, but just a few. The few who have never tried Lux Flakes. As I understand it, running a home is not an easy job at best. It certainly isn't going to be any simpler during 1943. And if you expect to make a lot of things last out the year, now is the time to begin taking care of them with Lux Flakes. That's one New Year's resolution you'll be glad to keep. Now our stars are on stage and the curtain rises, for A Star Is Born, with Judy Garland as Esther Blodgett and Walter Pidgeon as Norman Maine.
You're not an actress, Esther Blodgett. You're a North Dakota farm girl, and none too beautiful at that. And the sooner you stop dreaming about Hollywood and glamour girls and acting in pictures, the happier you're going to be.
It's late at night. In the bedroom of a North Dakota farmhouse, Esther Blodgett is still awake. She lies across the bed, sobbing softly into the pillow. Hearing again in her mind the words of her aunt, the door is opened quietly and an old woman in a flannel wrapper comes softly into the moonlit room.
Esther?
Yes. Who is it?
It's me, Granny. I thought you'd still be awake.
Yes, Granny.
Stop crying. That won't do any good.
I'm crying because Aunt Mattie and Alec and everyone else in this family makes me so mad.
Aunt Mattie, Alec, fiddlesticks. They are not important. You're the one who counts.
I could be an actress, Granny. I could be. And I'd go to Hollywood, too, if I had the chance. But they just laugh at me because I want to make something out of myself. They think it's funny.
Esther, everyone in this world who ever dreamed about better things was laughed at. Don't you know that?
I suppose so, but...
But there's a difference between dreaming and doing. You modern girls give me a pain. Why, when I wanted something better, I came across these plains in a prairie schooner with your grandfather. We burned in summer and froze in winter. We used our guns when we needed food, and then fought the Indians to keep it. But we kept on going, and we didn't complain, because we were doing what we wanted to do. Can you understand that?
Yes. Yes, I can, Granny.
Could you do it? Could you do it even when your heart broke? Because for every dream that you make come true, you pay the price in heartbreak.
I'm not afraid, Granny. I'm not.
All right, then. Here. Take this money and go to your Hollywood.
Oh, no. I can't take your money, Granny. It's your savings.
I haven't got anything to save up for, except my funeral. Now I don't believe I'm ever going to die.
Oh, Granny, how can I ever thank you?
By promising me that you'll never tell anybody where you got that money.
I promise.
If you ever do, I'll have you arrested for robbing me.
Oh, Granny. Granny, darling.
On Hollywood Boulevard, the heart of the movie metropolis. On your right, Grauman's Chinese Theater. Notice the paved blocks containing the hand and footprints of your famous star. We'll make a short stop here so you can inspect them at your...
Hello, Oleander Arms Apartments. Yeah, we got a vacancy. $4, running water, convenient to all studios, no dogs, no cooking. What do you do? Oh, yeah, listen, wise guy, don't waste my time. No dogs, no cooking, and no cowboys.
Good afternoon. My name is Esther Blodgett. I saw your ad in the paper.
That's why we put it there, miss. Day, week, or month, please.
Well, it's a little hard to say. You see, I'm going in the movies.
Oh, well, take it for a week. It'll break the jump to Beverly Hills. Sign right here.
Are all the studios really near here?
All except Gaumont British.
I suppose the best way to get a job is to go straight to the studios, isn't it? You know, I haven't any illusions. I'm perfectly willing to begin with a little bit of a part. Or even as an extra.
$4, please, in advance.
I beg your pardon. This is the central casting office, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, I'd like to register for extra work, please.
To register? How long have you been in Hollywood?
Well, it's nearly a month now.
Well, you know, we have 12,416 extras registered with us now. That's 16 times as many as we can use each working day. We haven't put anyone on our register in over 2 years.
Oh, I see.
Come over here. I want to show you something.
Later.
Those four girls operate our switchboards. Every time one of those little lights flashes, it's someone asking for a job. And every time a girl says, try later, it means there isn't any job. We can't keep girls at the switchboard long. They go crazy. And every one of those little lights thought it was going to be a star. Do you still want to go into the movies? You know what your chances are? 1 in 100,000.
I know, but maybe I'm that one.
Afternoon, Miss Blodgett.
Hello. Any phone calls for me today, Mr. Randall?
Nope. I guess Sam Golden and Cecil DeMille are writing you letters instead. How was the luck today?
There wasn't any.
Maybe you don't go at it right.
Well, if I haven't learned in 3 months, I guess I never will. But I'm not giving up.
Esther. Hey, Esther.
Hello, Danny.
Hello, McGuire. How's the big assistant director, and how's about some rent?
Never mind that now. Listen, Esther, I got to speak to you right away. Come in the parlor.
I'd still like a small payment on that rent.
Danny, what's the matter?
Look, remember when you first came here, I said I'd keep my eye out for a job for you? Well, believe it or not, I got one.
Danny. Oh, that's wonderful. When do I go to the studio?
Well, you don't exactly go to a studio.
Oh, it's on location.
Well, no, it isn't really a movie job at all. It's to be a waitress.
Oh.
Well, it is a kind of a movie job in a way, if you look at it right.
You said it was a waitress.
Sure, but it's waitressing for Oliver Niles, the head of our studio. He's throwing a party tonight. There'll be a lot of big people there. I'll bet there'll be 10 directors anyhow. And if you're there, maybe they'll notice you.
Sure. I could make them notice me.
Sure you could. Look, stick your hair down over your face. Make like Veronica Lake.
Oh, no, I'd rather not. You see, I don't want people to say, there goes Veronica Lake. I want them to say, there goes Esther Blodgett.
Yeah, but how can they say it if they don't know your name?
Well, that's up to me. I'll make them ask my name.
Mr. Niles' residence. Good evening.
Hello. Let me speak to Oliver Niles, then quick.
Yes, sir. Oh, Mr. Niles, it's for you, sir.
Thank you, Smith. I'll take it inside. Hello? Oliver Niles speaking.
Hello, Mr. Niles. This is your publicity department.
Yes, Libby, what is it?
Your publicity department begs to advise that your star, Mr. Norman Maine, has once again been thrown in the Los Angeles jug.
What?
That's right. Mr. Norman Maine, America's Prince Charming, was apprehended driving down Wilshire Boulevard with his siren wide open. He explained to the local police that he was a tree surgeon on a maternity case.
Where is he now?
I bailed him out an hour ago. He ought to be up to your place any minute.
Will this be in the papers, Libby?
No, it won't be in the papers. But that's a nice expensive hobby of yours, keeping Mr. Maine's informal entertainments out of the public press.
Look, Libby, you better find him and bring him here.
Hi, Oliver. Nice party.
Never mind, Libby. He's here now. I'll call you back.
What's the matter, Oliver? You look worried about something.
Do I? Evidently, you aren't.
All right, Oliver. Go ahead and say it. I've got it coming to me.
Don't make it any tougher on me, Norman. I don't want to stand here and preach. Take a look at my side of it. I'm trying to make pictures with you, but you don't realize...
I know. The costs are going up and the grosses are going down.
It isn't that so much. I just hate to see you go the way of so many others. You're a great star, Norman, but you're starting to fall apart.
Oh, Oliver, stop it.
First signs are always the same. Not being able to remember your lines. The cameraman trying to cover up your hangovers. All because you've got to have a good time every day, every night. I've warned you for a long time, Norman.
Okay, Oliver. You're a swell guy. You won't lose any money on me. I'll promise you that. I'll be ready for the curtains when the time comes. And when it does, here's my epitaph. For amusement only. Come on, let's get back to the party.
Will you have some hors d'oeuvres? Hors d'oeuvres, Mr. Maine? The caviar is very good.
Oh, thanks. Oh, wait. Maybe I will. Very beautiful. Very good. I've never seen you around here before.
Well, I'm just working for the night. Hors d'oeuvres?
Hey, don't go away. I'm starving.
Well, yes, sir.
Now, let's see. Which one would you take?
Well, they all look good, sir.
Yeah, I believe I'll take caviar.
Norman!
Hello, Anita. Where have you been?
Looking for you, mostly. Come on, I want to talk to you.
Wait a second. Let's see. Caviar, anchovies, caviar...
Take the tray away, please. Mr. Maine doesn't care for any more. Do you, Normie?
No, Normie doesn't care for any more. Greetings.
Oh, hello.
Hello. Mind if I help?
In the kitchen? Won't they miss you?
Oh, no, they'll just look under the table, and when they see I'm not there, they'll forget the whole matter. What's your name?
It's Esther Blodgett.
My name's Maine.
I know.
Oh, what's so funny?
Well, I was thinking about all your fans. How surprised they'd be if they could see you now, helping me put plates away.
They don't know my finer side.
They'd be pretty envious of me, meeting you in person this way.
Tell me, are you disappointed?
Yes, a little.
Well, what do you know?
Oh, now you've done it. You've broken one of the good plates.
Ah, don't worry about it. Makes the room look lived in. Tell me, why are you disappointed in me?
Well, I was sitting right behind you in the Hollywood Bowl that night you didn't want to be photographed, and you smashed the photographer's camera.
Yes, I'm told I crept into many a heart that night.
Oh, Mr. Maine, I'll never be able to explain this. Two of them.
You know something? You've got very pretty hair.
You better get out of here.
And a lovely mouth and a charming little smile.
Oh, here you are.
Anita, darling, come in.
What are you doing in here, Norman?
Who, me? Oh, I just wanted to be helpful. See?
I see. Are you sure there was no other attraction?
Well, it might be that old mania for putting plates away is coming back on me.
Oh, Mr. Maine!
Slipperiest plates I ever saw.
You know, it's rather odd that I always know where I can find you, if there's a pretty girl around.
It's not only odd, it's embarrassing. And we aren't married, darling, not yet anyway.
You're being deliberately insulting, Norman. I've put up with you as long as I'm going to.
Now, dear, don't lose your temper. Remember, we must try to keep the voice low. I know you'll excuse us if we go on with our work.
Oh, please. Let me help.
No, don't hit him.
Here, put that plate down, Anita.
Oh. Mr. Maine, get up, please. Oh, he's unconscious.
Unconscious? Now, see what you've done.
Oliver, I didn't do anything. I didn't.
Hey.
Oh, I thought you were unconscious.
Come on, help me up.
Are you hurt?
Well, no more than usual. Listen, the wolves are on us. Come on, we've got to get out of here.
Oh, I can't. The dishes aren't finished.
Oh, yes, they are. Watch.
Oh!
Come on!
That's my house, Mr. Maine. The one with the oleander bush.
Oleander bush? Right.
Well...
Wait. I bet I know what you're going to say.
What?
Good night.
Good night and thanks.
Oh, wait a minute. Do you realize that all I've found out about you is that you're foolish enough to want to go into pictures?
Why is it foolish? Look at you.
Oh, that's what I mean. Now, I'd like to go into this matter rather thoroughly.
Oh, that's awfully nice of you.
You ever acted before?
No. That is, I've never acted in anything important.
That's all right, neither have I.
I used to be in school shows, of course. They said I had a future.
Who, your father and mother?
No. The teachers in my high school in North Dakota.
Well, they certainly ought to know.
Well, just the same, I have got a future. In acting, I mean. And nobody had to tell me, except myself.
Well, that's fine. Look, don't go in now. Let's go up to my place and talk it all over.
Oh, no. Thank you very much, but I really must say goodnight.
Well, wait a minute. Look, has anyone ever told you that you're lovely?
No.
Well, you are.
Thank you.
And one more thing. This is hard to say, but I want to say it anyway. On the screen, I'm a... Well, you know. In private life, I'm a... Well, you know. But whatever I do, I still respect lovely things. And you're lovely. Do you understand?
I understand.
And it's not that bump on my head that's doing this, neither.
I'm glad.
Good night.
Good night.
Hey, wait.
Yes, what is it?
Do you mind if I take just one more look?
Good night.
Good night.
Walter Pidgeon and Judy Garland will return for Act Two of A Star is Born in just a moment. When you join hands on New Year's Eve and bow out the old year to the tune of Auld Lang Syne, will some such thought as this run through your mind?
Oh, dear, I didn't realize my hands looked so bad. I really ought to do something about them.
Doing something about them is really very easy. Much easier than many of you think. For you can get rid of that rough dishpan look while you're washing dishes. You don't have to buy expensive creams or lotions. All you have to do is to change from the strong soap that's causing the trouble to gentle Lux Flakes. Careful tests have proved that this is true. In these tests, many women whose hands were red and rough from strong dishwashing soaps changed to gentle Lux. Their hands improved in from 2 to 7 days, and soon they were soft and smooth and lovely again. These women used no creams and lotions on their hands. They just changed to Lux. You can make that change for less than a penny a day. Yes, that's all it costs to change dishpan hands to soft, smooth Lux hands. So tomorrow and the next day and throughout the new year, keep a big box of Lux Flakes on hand in your kitchen to save your hands. Now, our producer, Mr. DeMille.
Act Two of A Star is Born, starring Walter Pidgeon as Norman Maine and Judy Garland as Esther Blodgett. When Norman Maine left Esther on her doorstep, he went straight home. This was very unusual, but he did not go to bed. That would have been too unusual. It's 4 o'clock in the morning, and he's on the telephone to Oliver Niles.
Hello? Hello? This Oliver Niles?
Yes, it's Oliver Niles.
Hello, Oliver.
Hello.
Oliver, you asleep?
Not now, I'm not. Who is it?
Good. This is Norman Maine.
What? Who?
Norman Maine.
Norman, what have you done now? Are you in jail again?
No, 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 Oliver. No, Oliver, listen. Oliver, I met a girl.
Oh, is that all?
Oliver, this girl, she's beautiful.
Yeah, she's beautiful. Yes, I know. You want me to give her a screen test. Yeah.
Oliver, this girl has got something. I know it.
You know it. You knew all the others had something, too.
No, 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 no. I tell you, Oliver, she's got that sincerity and honestness. Makes great actress.
Yeah.
I'll do the test with her myself tomorrow morning. How's that?
Yeah.
Oliver.
What?
Tomorrow morning, screen test.
Yes, yes, anything at all.
That's fine, Oliver. I know you'd appreciate this little tip. I got another one the 6th tomorrow. Good night.
All I know is
some guy wants to speak to you. He's on the phone now.
Hello? Hello?
4 o'clock in the morning. Fine time to call up.
Hello? There doesn't seem to be anybody there.
Well, all I know is some
Hello?
Guy...
Hello, who is this?
Oh, hello.
This is Norman Maine.
Yes?
Hi, Esther, how are you?
Well, I'm all right, but...
Listen, it's all fixed.
What?
It's all fixed. I'll fix you tonight.
You fixed what?
Didn't I tell you? Screen test.
What did you say?
Screen test. Tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock. Bye.
Oh, but wait. Oh.
What's the matter? Bad news?
Well, no, it's just that I'm going to get up tomorrow morning. They're going to...
All right. This is only a test, fellas. Get going.
All set here.
Well, then let's take it. Ready, Norman?
Anytime.
Where's the girl?
I'm right here, Mr.
All right, let's go. Right over there, Miss... what's your name?
My name is...
Right
Esther.
There. That's the girl. That's it. Okay, Rudy, let's go.
He'll know your name soon enough. The whole world's going to know it.
Well, I don't know. I'm so scared. Maybe I better not try it today. What do you think? Don't you think if I could wait until tomorrow, maybe...
Now, come on. It's only a test.
Only?
Well, they all had to go through this. Hedy Lamarr, Barbara Stanwyck, Myrna Loy, and now Esther Blodgett.
All right, I'm ready.
That's it.
Quiet.
Rolling.
Give that long speech plenty of punch, here?
I'll try to.
Test, Esther Blodgett, 42816.
All right, Norman.
You said you were going to stay. Have you changed your mind?
Yes, I have.
You're afraid, aren't you? That's what it amounts to.
I suppose you could call it fear, but it's more than that, too. I'm ashamed for so many things, for ever coming here at all, for ever having loved you. But I'll never be free of you. I know that now. And I'll have to live with myself and my thoughts. And you can't run away from your own thoughts.
Right there, Miss Blodgett.
Here, Mr. Niles?
That's it. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Niles. I'm so glad you like the screen test.
I may as well tell you that my whole organization thinks I've gone a little nuts to sign you, even at this figure. Maybe they're right.
I hope they aren't.
We won't know either way for a while, will we? You look like a nice girl. I think I'm going to like you. But that's not important. I think the public will like you. That is important.
I know it is.
We're going to change your name, of course. Esther Blodgett is, well, it's Esther Blodgett. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
From now on, your name is Lester. Vicky Lester.
Vicky Lester. Vicky Lester. Oh, it's beautiful.
We'll change your hair a little, too. You'll have to learn to walk all over again.
Will I?
And for heaven's sake, learn to close your mouth and keep it closed, even in your love scenes.
Yes, sir.
Good evening, everybody. This is Billy Moon again, the Hollywood star chaser. These tired old eyes have again been glancing over the latest pipe dreams of the studio publicity departments, and I find ravishing, but ravishing items concerning a newcomer discovered by Oliver Niles, a new starlet, a Cinderella of the Rockies named Vicky Lester. This charmer, according to the publicity department, couldn't be more divine. But this reporter will lay 4-1 that she'll never be heard from again.
I listen, you dress people. We're shooting on the set this morning, not in the commissary. Shake it up.
Morning, Mabel.
Good morning, Mr. Maine. What'll it be this morning?
The usual, Mabel.
Orange juice and bicarbonate of soda.
Make it 2 bicarbs. It was a very successful party last night.
Acme Trucking Company. No, Mr. Smith is not in. Hello, Acme Trucking Company. Mr. Smith is not in.
What goes on over there?
Vicky Lester. She's rehearsing again.
Bring that stuff over to her table, will you?
Acme Trucking Company. Mr. Smith is not in.
Acme? No, Smith ain't in.
Acme Trucking Company.
I'd like to speak to Mr. Smith.
Oh, Mr. Smith isn't in. Oh, Norman.
What's this between you and Smith, anyway?
Well, I've got a part. It's only one line, but it's in a picture.
Oh, so it's ambition that made you break that date with me last night.
Well, I had to be here so early in the morning.
So did I, and I had to stay up all night to make it.
You've started your picture, haven't you?
No, we're still in the testing stage. Can't seem to find a girl for the lead.
Gee, you'd think with all the girls there are that...
Yeah, but this girl's got to be different. She's got to be little and cute and sweet and in touch. Well, knock me down.
What?
Well, beat my brains out.
Norman, what's the matter with
you? Come on, hurry up. Finish that coffee.
Where are we going?
Oliver Niles' office. On the run. The only thing to do. You've gone through the whole casting directory, haven't you?
But look,
I'll
Norman...
I'll work day and night, Mr. Niles. I'll give it everything I've got.
And I'll work with her, Oliver.
I can be mean or nasty or anything you want, Mr. Niles.
If she clicks, Oliver, you've got a star overnight. Well, what do you say?
Okay, she's in.
Esther!
Oh!
Esther! Esther! Wake up! Esther!
And little Vicky Lester has made good. Vicki Lester is a new star, just as I predicted on this program some time ago. Just how good she is was known early this evening after the preview of her first picture, in which she plays a featured role opposite Norman Maine. Norman may be starred, but he's decidedly not the main attraction.
Hi, you're great, Vicki. Vicki, you show us well.
Oh, I'm so happy for you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Would you like to sit down, Esther? I can't dance with you taking all these bows.
Oh, Norman, it's all so wonderful. I'll never forget this night.
Let's go outside for a minute. It'll be cooler out there.
All right.
Lovely, darling. Lovely.
Thank you.
See those lights, Esther? Down there? That's Hollywood.
It's wonderful, isn't it? A crazy quilt.
No. It's a carpet spread for you. It's yours from now on, you know. It's come, Esther. A star has been born. You'll have everything in the world you want. And I hope it'll make you happy.
Hasn't it you?
There's one thing I never had. Lots of times I've told myself I'd found it. But I always knew I was kidding. Still, I never stopped looking for it.
Maybe it'll come.
I think it has come, Esther. I only wish it weren't too late.
Oh, it's not too late, Norman. It's not.
You can't throw away your life the way I've thrown away mine and have anything left that's good enough.
You can. Oh, Norman, you can.
You shouldn't tell me that, Esther. I'm afraid I'll begin to believe it.
I want to tell you, Norman, and I want you to believe it because I love you too, Norman.